It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
Welcome into the KSR Football Podcast presented by Justice Dental. Check out either one of their two locations today in Lexington. There's one on Blazer and there's one on Wellington, either side of town. Convenient, the best one-stop shop for all your dental needs. And folks, I think I might need to check them out because I was chewing on my nails, stressed out, very, very worried Saturday night. But the Kentucky Wildcats pulled out the big win against the Florida Gators. Take that, Florida. Take it and like it. What a bunch of losers.
Dan Mullen, loser.
God.
500 against Kentucky in the last 4 years. Never beaten Wandale Robinson in his life.
Wow.
Get out of town.
Not only
get out
Brad
of town.
White's school, which he did. Another aspect of the coaching of Dan Mullen, why did you not change the double clap snap count after the eighth illegal procedure call?
Hey, I don't know.
It wasn't working. I mean, one clap is hard enough. Two claps in that crowd, nearly impossible. Thankful.
Yeah.
Good. Good for them.
Chuck, you were actually not at a wedding this weekend, correct?
I was there.
So you probably heard a lot of clapping. How are you supposed to hear somebody clap in the middle of a clap?
I think it's terrible. I didn't even know that that's what they were doing.
Two claps.
I will give my brother, he said, you know, he was watching the game via television. He said they zoomed in on Mullen about halfway through the third quarter. He was not talking to his assistant coaches, and he was like a deer in headlights. William, my brother, said, I think they're going to finish this game because I think he just, again, he got out of coach. We talked about that, too.
Two things that I noticed that Dan Mullen showed a tremendous amount of respect for Brad White, if you want to call it that. Having the football with a minute plus to go with timeouts at the end of the first half, and he took the 10-7 lead to the locker room instead of taking chances against that defense. Mm-hmm. Two, he had it four to have the football, fourth and one and a half maybe, in an area on the field that it normally goes for it on fourth down, decides to punt. That shows respect. But speaking of the clap, did any of y'all know what Chris Rodriguez did differently on Saturday than the four other games Kentucky has played?
Along the ball?
Yeah, could be the answer to the question.
He had like four hands on the ball.
Yeah, I'm going to assume it's something ball issue related.
He did not wear gloves Saturday night.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we're blaming the gloves.
The things you can notice through your living room porch window.
Yeah, we got a picture from Freddie through his window. Yeah. I think there was even a cat in the way
through
watching the game window. From the patio. You were so nervous.
Through my window, around Daisy, and watching the game. Yeah.
Daisy, no respect for your game watching.
No.
Oh man, we got to congratulate the team, but we also got to congratulate the fans because, I mean, not only did you guys go out there and help get it done, but you also, you've been waiting on this. I mean, that was, I think, the 13th sellout, and Kentucky, they hadn't exactly been doing well in those sellout games. I think 3-9 just against the spread, which means you're not even really playing those games close when you're not when you're an underdog. And the fans helped make it happen. As much as we want to give Mullen crap for not changing the snap count, I don't think they could have done anything to not commit false starts. The most hilarious one that we just had to laugh about in the press box, when it went from 3rd-and-1 to 3rd-and-11.
Yeah.
That just completely changes the game. I mean, the playbook that you have at your disposal compared to 3rd-and-11 to 3rd-and-1, completely different. And, man, the fans, they were rewarded not only – it was good the entire time. Yeah. Like Chuck, it wasn't, you know how you get those some of those kind of boring second downs where it's just like, we get blue-white chants going. The fans were there throughout, and then the pleasant surprises. Like, I haven't seen somebody break through that many tackles since Charles Walker was on the field, watching Wandell Robinson just go.
Oh, he juked the hell out of that port. We haven't seen a player move like that. Even Lynn Bowden, as crafty as he was, it wasn't quite as quick as how Wandell switched directions.
Can we talk about the Kamasi smoke block?
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Yes, that deserves just as much credit.
That poor...
I guess he's a DB.
I mean, that reminds me of
Bunchy
Stone. It reminds me too of Derek or not, was it Derek Abney? No, Dickie Lyons.
No, Dickie Lyons. I've watched that several times today. It's LSU week.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you had to. And I forget the guy's name. They were high school buddies.
Hester.
No,
it wasn't Hester. It was. I'll get it. Carry on.
Okay, but that's what it kind of was like. Except this one sprung Wandell for a touchdown. You mentioned it, Freddie, like, you know, when he made some crazy runs, it kind of reminded me of the Louisville run that he made to start the second half,
yeah,
where you thought he was going to go down like six times. I thought there was no way Wandell was going to stay on his feet for at the end. I thought there was two guys there.
Craig Stutz, by the way.
Craig Stutz. Yeah. Craig Stutz.
They wear the same number. They play the same position, but I think they're different players. I think Wandell is faster.
More top-end speed.
Quicker, but Bowden was elusive. They're totally two different things. Both great players. I mean, don't take that the wrong way. But, yeah, that was 41 of Kentucky's 87 passing yards came in a hitch that Wandell Robinson had 41 yards after the catch for a touchdown. Three blocks stood out to me. Kavashe Smokes block that got Wandell into the end zone. Darren Kennard took out three players when Rodriguez ran into for a touchdown. And then Marcus Bembry was really smart on the block when Trevor Wallace was returning the block kick. He put his arms up and just put his back to it. And instead of blocking him, scraping paint, that's what he did.
That's what they call it.
Really.
The arms up, though, you're kind of tight. You never raise your hands. Just don't even raise your arms. Yeah. That just means I'm doing something.
Yeah, it almost says, look at me.
I'm teetering.
Yeah, those three, yeah.
I love when they do that, though, because it's like I'm trying not to.
Well, when the ref just looks, you know, that much closer. I will say, I'll add another block, or lack there on the block, Luke Fortner on that Wandell play. He's just kind of running along, never really touching anyone, and he tweeted out today, Luke did, something along the lines of, yeah, maybe next time I'll actually find someone to block.
Yeah.
He just was running beside Wandell the whole time.
Yeah,
his hands up. Typical, you know. O lineman, run, right. Screenplay, hands are up, running.
Did you see his eye after the game?
Yeah, that thing looked
cool. Whoa, hello.
Whoa. Sorry about that, fellas. Sorry about that.
Singers before
them. Producers over here just doing a terrible job. But
you're all right. Just as good as our team's blocking was, I thought the tweeting about their blocking was good. You just mentioned that one. What did Smoke say? Chomped me one? I think he said chomped me one with that video. We had a lot of Jacquez Jones had the woman petting the gator to sleep tweet.
He also, I'm really sad he deleted it, but this morning he tweeted out a picture of him in a Florida Gators jersey at like 10 years old.
Oh, really? I didn't catch that.
And he deleted it quickly, and I don't know why. Like, it was, he didn't say anything bad. It was just like, how time flies. And I love that. I love Trevin Wallace saying that Florida was his dream school. Like, dude, Dan Mullen, you suck as a recruiter. You're going to lose your job at this Golden Palace because you can't recruit at one of the easiest places to recruit. I love every single second of that. Just pouring salt on the wounds. I'm sure that those people on the message boards are really going to appreciate some of those comments. That's why I wish Jones kept it up there. But man, those were some big plays, some big moments, and I think that a whole lot of money got made, which brings us to a new segment. Whole lot of money.
Okay. I didn't see that in my pre-show notes.
No, this did not make the pre-show notes, but you know who made a whole lot of money on Saturday?
Waka Flocka.
Did he though, or did he just show up?
He has to have royalties on that song, right?
Josh Pascal's
number one on Miles.
Yeah, John, I would probably go Waka Flocka, the SEC, and then Josh Pascal.
At least 250 grand.
Yeah. Josh Pascal, though, that was, Freddie, that was the game we kind of knew he had in him, but had not yet seen it. Duke completely took over the game, and I know they gave him special teams player of the week. He should have been player of the week because he was a one-man wrecking crew, 2.5 tackles for loss. I don't think his stats truly illustrate his impact. Dude is at least a day two draft pick by now, right?
7 tackles, 2.5 for loss, blocked the field goal. You all know, I take my aunt, who's 85 years old, dinner every evening and visit with her. And she always watches the games if she can figure it out. We get it on, and she still thinks I play. And yesterday I took her supper, and she asked me what number I was, and I told her number 4. So I was Josh Pascal.
Oh, yeah. So, you picked a great person.
Yeah, I always picked the MVP, kind of, you know, that was me. But, yeah, I think he made money. Josh, you know, if you remember, Nick, when we talked after camp or during camp, when we were talking about players that jumped out during fall camp, I said Josh Pascal by far. His movement is so sudden and laterally, he can go east, west, north, south. I think he came to his own. But I was really happy with the development of those defensive linemen. I think that highly touted recruiting class of defensive linemen took giant steps Saturday night. Mm-hmm. Trayvon Ripka, I thought, played really well. Justin Rogers with 40-plus snaps. Josiah Hayes played. And then a true freshman played. Saunders. So there was a lot of bodies rotating, and when the game was on the line, you look out there, it's Ripka, Rogers, and Hayes. I mean, it's not the normal cast of characters on that defensive line. I think that bodes well for the future, but Josh Pascal had the game of his lifetime.
He was
incredible. I was told that what we saw doesn't even do it justice, that he was cramping so bad that the trainers were basically like trying to fold him in half on the sideline. He was just stiff as a board, and he was still getting up and running back out there and making plays, fighting through that. It was what anyone else on the team wouldn't have been able to be on the field. He was still getting back out there.
71 snaps compared to, I mean, Kentucky, 47?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, 71 snaps, 8 snaps inside the 10-yard line to end the game. 8.
Crazy.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The game plan that Brad White had, the execution of that defense. You can talk all 3 levels playing the game of their lives against Florida. The defensive line, Jones and Square at linebacker, Weaver, Wright played really good, and then that secondary played their butts off. So it all came together. That was the best defensive. I thought Missouri's second half, not allowing a first down, was the best thing I've ever seen in 2018. Until Florida. I think that was the best defensive game that I've seen from a Kentucky team.
We had I don't want to say a comeback story of sorts, but you had Pascal, who, you know, we know his journey all too well. He had that kind of eye-opening performance. And then on the other hand, you have J.J. Weaver, who a year ago against this Florida team, him and Kyle Pitts are jawing at each other on the field, and Pitts is like standing over him, talking smack as Weaver's down there on the ground with a torn ACL. A year later, he sees Florida going 4 verts and says, "We're matching up. I got this." Undercuts the route while covering a tight end and sets up what proved to be the final decisive touchdown for Kentucky. And you know what? As great as that play was, there was another play. It wasn't even a tackle for a loss. It was a play where Florida ran the option, and this dude forced the pitch and still almost got a tackle for a loss to the pitch man. I don't know how he covered that much ground, how he was able to do both, but you couldn't ask for a more perfect defense. I mean, that guy, and Stoops said of the game, he's not even 100%. I mean, that guy is playing out of his absolute freaking mind.
Has there been a bigger surprise? And I'm going to even include Jamie Davis when you consider how – in, you know, May and June, we're just hoping he'll be ready to go for the first game. And not only was he ready to go, what do you have, 3 sacks, 2 sacks?
On like 20 plays.
Yeah, and then the interceptions, huge plays in every game, it seems. I mean, this guy was lucky to even be on the field.
Incredible. It's incredible. I mean, shout out to the defense for making some game-changing plays. I hope, though, Chuck, that JJ doesn't make his money just yet. Let's hope it's just nil.
Don't show him too much.
Nil money. Let's get you nil money through the next 2 years and then first-round draft pick money, because he might be playing good enough to be a draft pick this year. Just saying, you know, just keep him around another year.
I think he'll be well. Ask Haskell's proven it. We have players that are proven right now why you come back. One, from a school standpoint and the program itself, but two, Josh Haskell, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to make more money going this year.
No, then Josh Allen, you know, too. He's a good
Charles Walker to the Patriots, too.
Charles Walker.
Yeah, I should have stayed the next year or something like that.
Poor Josh.
You could have worked it out.
Yeah.
I am worried about our boy Josh Allen, though. His head coach is just off the rails. Three games in the year.
I think he's out later than I was on Saturday.
No, he just had dinner with the grandkids, and then he went over for a few, and then they tried to get him to dance, and he didn't want to dance. Wrong place, wrong time. We've all been there.
Yeah. You know, I know that's happened to you all the time, Charles, when just women are dragging you on the dance floor to dance.
I'm pretty much dragging women on the dance floor to dance, and I'm not getting too many yeses, but whatever. Urban Meyer. Have you all seen that contract he signed back in the day?
Oh, his contract with his family. Yeah. Like, I will not sell the lake house.
I will eat three meals a day as one of them. It's like, what?
Is that really necessary?
I think he's a robot.
Have you seen the picture of his coffee table?
Oh, man. The coffee table picture.
I like someone tweeted Urban Meyer's view for the next few months, like sleeping on the couch.
Oh, that's pretty good. You know, his coffee table. So I just want you all to imagine a coffee table. And then imagine going over to your like great aunt's house and taking all of the pictures you have in frames and putting them on that coffee table.
Like you can't even put a drink on it if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Wow. There you go.
I mean, that's not humans. That's like,
I think it might be a robot.
That is what a robot thinks a human's coffee table should look like.
That coffee table looks like a fan of the show Blue Bloods.
Are you saying you have that coffee table too? It's a football guy's coffee table.
Yeah, yeah. Loves. Nobody loves Blue Bloods more than Freddie, except maybe my in-laws. Tom Selleck, great mustache. I do not have a great mustache, and it's annoying the bejesus out of me.
You got it. Your mustache is fine.
Yeah, but it's really long, and you know, I don't know. I just want to
just stick with it.
Try.
You got this.
Hey, speaking of a whole lot of money. Mitch Barnhart's going to have to spend a whole lot of money. $250,000. Going to need to write a really big check. Going
to take it to the big bank.
To the real big bank down in Birmingham. Would be funny if he did try to pull that off. But you know what? That $250,000, that's what? Weekend of alcohol sales at Tiger Stadium?
It's easy money when you're in the SEC. He probably had that on him.
Man.
He did everything he could to stop that one guy from running on the field, though, and save the fine.
So I missed that. I did
it
not.
It was incredible. And I'm mad that there's not footage of it. I've searched high and low. I rewatched the ESPN broadcast. I think maybe just the few eyeballs there noticed, but there was a fan running from the end zone, and he got to about the 50, and what looked like another fan behind him. And then about 30 yards in, you see like a little lanyard and it's nice UK gear. And it's like everyone that hit around me at once was like, that's Mitch Barnhart. That's not a fan.
You see the top button and you know.
He didn't just kind of chase this guy. I mean, he put in a probably 40-yard run, stride for stride, just 10 or so yards behind him. And then the fan hung a left and God knows what happened when he got to the sideline. I'm sure he got tackled pretty good. But Barnhart did everything he could to pull him back.
He did not want to write
that
check.
And if you have video, please send it because it needs to be seen. Barnhart has some speed on him.
Gosh, that field storming was pretty awesome too. Because here's the thing. We've had some ho-hum field storm. The last time Kentucky got fined for one, I didn't even realize there were people on the field. But apparently some students got on for that Mississippi State game in 2018. This was a... wow, look at the pictures in Lexington, Kentucky, kind of. It's just a mass of people down there. And there was a lot of white because there was a lot of the student section. Mm-hmm. As a journalist with a lot of integrity, I had to go down there to get some footage.
Field reporting.
Yeah, reporting,
what,
exactly.
What would we be without someone in the field?
And I was down there in the field, on the field, around the field. Not an easy crowd to navigate through.
Well, I tried to come back as a journalist for the post-game show, and I couldn't get near this place.
Near the Chaos Bar and Grill? Yeah.
It was crazy.
It was wild. There was a lot of like girls on shoulders. Somebody had a banana balloon they were throwing through the crowd.
It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. Love the My Old Kentucky Home to really cap it off, but some of the people, though, didn't understand that, like, if you're trying to walk out of the tunnel to get onto the field 10 minutes later, you missed it.
It's too late.
Yeah.
It's over.
You know, like, it's just, it's been,
yeah.
We're trying to get out now. You're just clogging everything up. But, man, I love seeing, too, the pictures of players with people, especially Ryan Lemon with...
Ryan right there in the middle of it. Selfies with Will Levis. I've yet to see a photo from the game that does not include Waka Flocka Flame. Did he just take a picture with everyone in the building?
Yes.
Were there multiple Waka Flockas? It looked like he was everywhere.
I love, too, that they gave him a Za'Darius jersey. Because you really had to double take, and it's not just the hair. Like, those guys could be long lost cousins.
Big dude.
Seen
equipment him playing basketball?
Yeah. Charles, did you get a picture with Waka?
I did.
Nice. Yeah.
See, that's my point. Everyone there got a picture with Waka.
Waka got a picture with.
Oh, excuse me. You should have waved.
He actually said,
in the
"Are
picture.
You 88?" Yeah.
Just
don't
first.
Embarrassing. I just made his
That's from playing with Vinny.
Yeah, Waka literally stopped me and said, "Wait, you were 88, right?" Said, yeah, this is embarrassing, but yes,
long time ago.
Yes, Waka.
Speaking of humility, Keontae Goodwin, he was blushing when fans were chanting his name at the catwalk. I've got a pretty decent relationship with him, and it really is funny to see him just be like, it's just so awkward. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do over here. Like, he's such a sweet kid. And he was there at the catwalk along with, you know, five-star recruit Barrion Brown, who I'm pretty sure he's the guy that Stoops worked in Papa Shot. Stoops is really proud of that, by the way, too.
Is.
He brought that up again.
I mean, it's nice to have, you know, you think all the visitors on Saturday, but, like, it didn't stop for Stoops. It was just getting started, bro, on Sunday, so we had to wake up and entertain all day. And we learned via SEC this morning it involved kicking his butt in Papa Shot over a big-time recruit. He was the biggest of the big times.
Yeah, and since those official visits are 2 days, I would think that, that kid played Friday Night Football.
Yeah, he's only in Nashville, so he could get home on a Sunday night if he needed to.
Right, exactly.
And so. Stoops mentioned taking him to dinner. Usually on an unofficial, you don't get the dinner treatment. So I think it would be official visit.
That would be a pretty big one. You could use some more people with Wandell-like speed. I'm sure he got to hang out with Waka Flocka some. Really wanted to get, even just do the wugga, wugga, wugga in the background. Like,
he definitely did the bare minimum on that entrance, but whatever, it worked.
It was really cool.
Stoops is a really, really good football.
Really?
Is he one of those people that's just good at whatever he picks up? Like,
100 years ago, I used to throw a baseball with him.
Oh, yeah, we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a pretty good slider, and I threw my best slider with a wiffle ball to him, and he took it out of the park.
Wow.
Yeah, elite wiffle ball player.
It's good to know.
Yeah.
It's good to know. Sounds like one of those guys that's good at all those sports.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mark Stoops, we'll share this with our listeners, but you're not going to hear this everywhere else. I guess by the time you're hearing this, you might have already heard it, but the head coach was on a KSR podcast.
Yeah.
It's coming out Tuesday, so he's hanging out with the quote-unquote the knuckleheads, Max and Miles. So
saw Miles wore his best banana costume over to the facility for a sit-down interview.
Formal attire from that crew. So, yeah, go check out that interview. We found out how Stoops takes his coffee, which is really when Max was like, what should we ask? I was like, I just want to know the coffee order because I know that it's being drank quite a bit. Yeah.
I used to have that saved on my phone, actually.
Did he make you go get it?
Pretty much. How do you think I got that scholarship?
Hey,
it certainly wasn't.
I didn't mean that in a bad way. Whatever it takes for the team.
Oh man,
I have it right here, actually. Am I allowed to give it?
Well, he gave it on the podcast.
Yeah.
So triple grande non-fat latte with one raw sugar.
Yeah,
that was
there. You go. That's still the order.
And the triple.
Whew. Did we just out-scoop Pennant Deep? We don't have to talk trash to you. Feel free to talk some back.
You can suck it, Pennant Deep, because we just out-scooped your ass.
Got to be some specialist podcast. Listen, I got best of both worlds. I was practically a specialist, but also got to stay in the wide receivers room.
Yeah, you played a real position, too.
I got everything.
Yeah, exactly. Which, speaking of sugar.
Uh-oh, I know where you're going.
No.
Don't get too carried away. One game at a time.
We are 5-0.
Okay.
Ranked 14th or 16th.
We always go by the best one.
14th. Mm-hmm. 7-game winning streak. Haven't even played the best football yet. It's a great defensive game. One of the 5 best defensive performances ever under Mark Stoops. You can argue the order here or there. But can we just say, like, how sweet New Year's Day would be in New Orleans? Things go the right way. You keep playing good defense. You stay healthy. Might be eating beignets to start 2022. Oh, man.
LSU's coming to town, Nick. You're already in the Sugar Bowl.
I'm already ready to go. I'm ready to go back to Louisiana.
I wish our podcast listeners could see the death stare Freddie is giving you as you're skipping ahead on the schedule. I'm sure Freddie's ready to tell us about the athletes Coach O still has on a 2-loss LSU team, and you're already wanting to get on Bourbon Street on New Year's Day.
Yes, because
grenade in hand.
The thing that's nice too is that the slushy places you can really alternate which kind you have, so you never get you never get overwhelmed with one flavor.
Yeah, away from me.
And you just get like, oh, it's only $1 for one more shot. Like, I'll take 6. Great times. Actually, I think the last time I was in New Orleans, I might have seen you.
Me?
Yeah.
Probably not with one of those. Those were a hangover in a glass. Yeah. I'll tear down some Bourbon Street, but you can have the 3-foot-tall frozen daiquiri.
Oh, no, you get the small. You just dump the shots in that one. Yeah, so I really – the best part about the Sugar Bowl, too, it's a night kickoff on New Year's Day, so you don't even have to wake up early. Like, Citrus Bowl –
he's lost.
Just like I didn't get to watch my name and get thrown through a table. I'm not listening.
The Citrus Bowl, I couldn't even watch the ball drop.
Rat poison.
And we were up and at it early.
Nick's already got his bags packed over here.
I wanted – so bad. And here's the thing. Yes, the other teams are really good. But hey, if you get the offense back on track, I think we're in a little bit of funk. We're going to get more into it. But I think right now, you know, it's the new quarterback, the new coordinator figuring out. There's just a little bit of a learning curve. We're learning through it. And hey, it's on the table. Everything's on the table. You can even dream playoff if you want. But I do know that there's going to be a Kentucky versus Georgia on CBS in 2 weeks.
Now that I'm excited about. That's not looking too far.
It's the table. We talked about it against Missouri. We even talked about it in South Carolina. To get to where you want to go, you've got to win those big games. And for the first time in a long time, Kentucky delivered with one of those big sold out crowds. The stadium was literally shaking. Drew and I could feel our laptops moving beneath our hands.
In the nerd box.
Yeah, it was literally shaking, and Kentucky got the win. They somehow stopped Florida from scoring 7 times within the 10-yard line with less than a minute to go. They're doing the things that great teams do. There's still more to be done. So, Freddie, I will stop my Sugar Bowl talk, but man, I want it so bad.
Freddie, bring us back down to earth real quick.
No, I'm going to... You state what you said earlier.
We're not counting any bowl games yet.
Charles.
Well, again, yeah, because
we're almost there.
We're not packing yet. Right. Yeah. We'll get there when we get there. We still got the SEC championship to win first.
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
That's first.
I got
one.
Yeah, you're gonna bring your popcorn?
No.
Okay.
Talking no smack.
All right. Real quickly, before we go back to it, big picture. If you had to pick one team to make the playoff that's not Alabama or Georgia, who would it be?
Cincinnati.
I wouldn't even pick Cincinnati.
You don't play anybody else
in you? Yeah, they're going to lose, though. You know they are. They're going to find a way to mess up and lose. It's like
they got the easiest path.
Okay. Charles?
But is their path proven? If they go undefeated, should they get it?
Personally, I don't think so, but they will get voted because people love the underdog story. And rightly so do I. But, I mean, they're going to be tough to keep out. You know? Pac-12's out. Oregon lost.
Yeah, they suck.
There's still a lot of rooting to do against other teams, for sure, including Cincinnati.
But who do you think is even has a shot to be in that playoff? Why do we even have a playoff? Just play Alabama and Georgia. They're the two best teams, and it is not even close.
Yeah, you just said it yourself. 3:30, week and a half from now. I mean, we'll see.
We'll see. But I mean, what are you, Ohio State, maybe?
I mean, you're right. We definitely want to bring you down from driving to New Orleans right now, pre-gaming for the Sugar Bowl. But for the first time ever, probably, we can dream some dreams we've never really dreamed before.
It's fun. All right,
it's harmless if you're a fan in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
We don't need the offensive line packing for the Sugar Bowl.
Right. Luke Fortner needs to pack an eye patch, if anything. Yeah. Did you see that? My God. I didn't know what he went down for, and it was like, man, Luke must be really hurt if he's going to be out for a play. He had to go get a couple quick stitches.
I got a question about Luke Fortner. I saw him going the entrance, you know, now they're taking pictures and videos of the catwalk. They're calling it, like, the entrance or something. He had his hat on backwards. Mm-hmm. Charles and Nick have their hats on backwards. At what age does that need to stop?
I don't think it's age. I think it's how long does your hair hang on or not. Because I think Luke and I are in a similar boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got mocked because I had mine on backwards the other day.
No. You wear the hell out of it. Yeah.
I mean, that's a fitted cap, though. You can't wear that backwards.
I got a humongous head.
Yeah, but you don't wear a fitted cap backwards.
Do you know how big this pretty cap is?
I think the fitted cap backwards
that's
is too.
It's the fitted hat.
It's 2000, you know.
I'm in a little family.
Yeah.
That's but a good if I have it forward, the clip thing, I can wear it backwards.
Yeah.
I think after the last year, you can just do whatever you want. Like what people think. I mean, I've still, since last March, worn pants and buttons maybe twice, and I don't plan to ever go back. And I just feel like, since what we've gone through, you can wear whatever you wear, Freddie. Yeah. Wear two hats back at the same time.
I wore khakis to a KSR program in a week ago, and it felt so weird.
How was your KSR Kroger game of the week?
Woodford County put on a show.
Home game for you.
Home game for me. I walked.
You were very excited.
I walked to the game, which was awesome. Woodford County's good. I mean, they're second ranked team in 5A RPI. They beat West Jessamyn. Great crowd. The county judge executive was there. He offered up hotspots for the Wi-Fi for our guys if they needed to ride.
Isn't very the nice event. County judge executive like the king of the county?
Yes.
Yeah.
You run things.
Yeah, James K., great guy. And it was good.
Which, by the way, the On3 database is coming out soon. I wish I didn't have anything to do with it. But, I mean, it's not a whole lot of work I have to do. But it's you're going to enjoy it when you see it.
We use that for now.
It works fancy. Yeah.
And we all got to get a taste of it in a preview session.
I mean, it looks like stuff that they use for like the NFL. It's crazy.
I thought I was looking at the year 2050.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't know what was going on. I didn't feel comfortable, actually. It was too much.
I can come over and I can talk.
Okay, thank you, Freddie. Thank you.
Okay, before we get on to Butte and the rest of the LSU Tigers, we got to tell Drew to kick rocks because.
What did I do wrong?
Well, you jinxed. You're a real jinx.
Man, I really feel bad about this.
You're a real jinx cat.
The Andy thing?
No.
Fat Randy?
Andy.
No.
Bullock? Yeah. No, not that.
He did jinx that.
I did jinx that.
I mean, his helmet's terrible. Can we talk about that real quick?
But how, I don't know his helmet.
It's the worst looking helmet I've ever seen. He came out to kick that field and I said no.
I don't have any comments about the Tennessee Titans right now.
Kind of screwed me on my parlay, so I'm with you.
It was embarrassing football. Offensive line needs help.
Yep, and you also...
I think I KSR cursed Bully.
Yeah.
I wore a Bully shirt that day.
Yeah.
And you knew it. That was the part that was disheartening.
I told Nick before kickoff when I sat down, I was like, I feel really uncomfortable about wearing this Bully shirt. I had it on in the press box. Not supposed to wear UK gear in the press box. It's a Bully shirt, not a UK shirt.
Yep.
That's true.
Yep, that is true. No UK logos.
I felt really guilty. I mean, obviously, I didn't have anything to do with it, but I was very bummed to see my favorite player go down.
First significant injury of the season.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't have a comeback without a setback.
And he was playing really well.
It's true.
He was.
Yeah, and we don't have any – I mean, Stoops just gave us the lower leg a little bit of time. He could not have been more vague at all. But I would – if they're pulling you off the depth chart, that's at least a month.
Yeah, and an ankle with someone that size.
We saw Quentin Bohanna. It took him, I mean, it was basically the rest of the season when he had a sprained ankle. Because just coming back, I mean, putting a lot of pressure on it when you're a big guy like that. So hopefully Bully plays well. Now, I guess the silver lining, Freddie, is you got two former top 200 players top 150 recruits there with Josiah Hayes and Justin Rogers. Now, Stoop said that Hayes got dinged up as well. Yeah. What does dinged up mean? I don't know. I'm guessing like a shoulder. He's a big guy. They hit their shoulders a lot. Mm-hmm. But either way, those guys rose to the occasion. They really stepped up. And so did, I mean, there was just a lot of people we didn't expect. You brought Quill Sanders playing. Yeah. Did not foresee that happening. Did not foresee Joel Williams getting the amount of run that he got. I expected if any of those guys, it might be Tisdale. Tisdale got some special teams kickoff stuff.
Yeah, looking ahead, we never really mentioned Williams as the guy who would play out of the group.
And he was in, I mean, he was matching up with dudes in the slot on third down, you know.
Of the, I would call them newcomers, but young defensive players, Ripka, I thought, popped out at me. I mean, he was moving well, chasing the football. I thought, even in the spring, that Florida receiver slipped down and going in the end zone.
Yeah.
Ripley was chasing from behind, and he was moving, so I was impressed by him.
He plays a lot of nose for them in their, like, third down package. Him and Pascal, they'll kind of alternate. Yeah. So, really impressed with those guys. They got to step up in Bowie's absence. Also, could be more guys down. Just, you know, some food for thought. It was a physical game.
It's that time of
the year. Yeah. And then it's going to happen in Kentucky. I mean, they went four games. Clean bill of health for the most part.
Wear and tear, it gets to you.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter what position you play, it gets to you.
Yeah. It's just of all people, it had to be Bully.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so hopefully he gets well soon and they'll have him back, November, something like that. But we're going to put Bully on the back burner. We got to move LSU to the front burner because the Tigers are coming to town for the first time since 2007. That was a pretty memorable game, Drew.
I was at that game. I was on the field after that game. That is one of my favorite UK memories of all time. I'm hoping we run that back because that celebration and giving LSU one when they went on to win a national championship, we could start a streak of two home wins over LSU this coming Saturday. Let's just, Florida had theirs against us. Tennessee had theirs against us. We're going to start one against LSU.
Oh, man. Love to hear it. And I think I've got to ask about your...
Oh, yeah. I forgot. In my possession here... last week I had a little mojo. I chugged some mayo and coffee. Don't recommend. I do not recommend that at all.
Can we stop all that now?
Yeah, we're done with that.
Yeah, eating and drinking and whatever.
I'm good. Let's keep it up.
I did feel like me doing it helped with the team.
It definitely did.
So I found mojo for this week, and it is in my hand right now. Fellas, in the year 2007, what's the statute of limitations?
You're good.
This made it from LSU's bench to my possession, and I am drinking out of it all week. It's been in my office collecting dust, and I just cleaned it out this morning, and everything I drink this week is coming out of Glenn Dorsey's water bottle that I might have pulled out of his hands. But I don't know if that's bad. I borrowed it.
You're having
Here's
a good
the thing.
Time.
I borrowed it with intentions of giving it back, and they haven't been back since 2007.
That's true.
So this coming week, I was very parched that day.
Yeah.
So this Saturday, I'll run back down and put it right back where it was some 14 years ago.
The it does have the look, this Powerade. It's a squeeze bottle, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's got the very...
Let's see if you can get it.
Got the pop
on the back.
And you got to smash the cap down because those lids never close all the way
either. Even better about this is the Yahoo story had a picture of Dorsey actually drinking out of it in like a Getty image. I tried to find it today, but I'm hoping to dig that up because it's the bottle. He was a first round pick.
Man. Nice. Yeah,
we were passing around finishing his Powerade in the mosh pit.
Great game. Matt Flynn, Braxton Kelly, Who's the guy that got stuffed at the line? Hester.
That was Hester. I said Hester earlier on the block. I got him flipped.
Yeah, Hester got stuffed, and Hester does stuff now for Sirius, maybe?
Well, he had very pro UK comments earlier this season on his podcast. He was hyping up UK.
Yeah, him and Doring, I think, which is so weird. Like those two?
Yeah. Of all people to be hyping us up.
Right. But Hester got his heart broken. I guess Doring was the heartbreaker. But that game, that was a young Nick. I guess I was 16 at the time, and I was doing the thing where we snuck into the game, and we were in the overflow student section, and thought a crowd, like a field storming, was on the verge of happening. So we watched the final, all of the overtimes from on top of the end zone, and that just being in the concourse and pacing, very stressful. Even more stressful because Chuck, you have no depth perception from up there. So it took me a good while before I could confirm that the tackle was actually made. Mm-hmm. But I would say that there is one other piece of good mojo, good news coming too. Guess who has plans to come back to Lexington this weekend?
Waka Flocka.
Nope, not Mr. Flocka. He's a person who is not tight. He likes to get loose.
Oh, Stevie.
Stevie Johnson has plans to come up to Lexington KY this weekend, which, I mean, you want to talk about a great way to get the fans fired up going into the fourth quarter. Just show him doing the back pedal with the two hands and then the little bird thing. Did we ever know what that meant? I don't think so.
It's whatever he wanted. I mean, he started doing it.
It was very cool. It was very awesome. You can tell he has a chance to run it back this weekend when the Tigers come to town. And, Freddie, I don't think Joe Burrow is walking through that door.
Yeah.
But they still got – their LSU's just weird. They're in a very weird spot right now.
Strange study. Strange study, this LSU team. let me try to paraphrase here, Charles. LSU is far too talented to have a 3-2 record.
Yeah.
Their talent, as of last Sunday, 59 players in the NFL off their roster off from LSU. Top five recruiting class the last couple of years. The production, the record does not match. I don't know how else to say. I don't want to say that they're poorly coached. But I
watched Coach O's press conference today.
And it's on him, he said.
He must have apologized 50 times. It was almost weird how many times he said, put it on me. Even a reporter was like, why are you saying this so much? So it's clear he is trying to take it off.
Which scares me because Coach O's, his back is against the wall. You know, if he loses Saturday at Kentucky, it could be a ball game.
With
all that talent, if they get it right and somehow get buy-in from the team, and they get a high effort with all that talent. That worries me. But every number that I see, LSU gives up 248 yards passing defensively. How many pros are in that secondary? How many pros are on that defensive line? It just does not make sense to me. Just none of them average 70 yards rushing. No, very, very little rushing attack. The offensive line is not very good. But then I look at sometimes I look at scores per quarter. First quarter, LSU 42-7 over its opponents. Let's fast forward, how about that? To the fourth quarter. LSU is getting outscored 57-31 in the fourth quarter. That tells me that they're fading towards the stretch, right? And there's something going on because the talent does not match the product that I've seen on the field. And I'm trying to be as nice as I can about saying that. There's something going on. I don't know if it's development, because they sure do have some fantastic athletes. Eli Ricks is an All-American pro corner. I mean, you got all that secondary skill.
Stingley, Jay Ward. Yeah.
Something going on there that's not right.
Ooh. Could be some motivation. Like you say, his back's against the wall. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
But the players might, who knows, maybe they've checked out. We don't know. We're not close to them.
And that's the LSU's coming off of, breaking news.
Morning,
good job.
Facebook's back.
Damn. All right.
We made it almost a day.
I was hoping it was gone forever.
I know. God, I'm so glad to see those pictures.
LSU will have the best offensive player that Kentucky plays against all year.
Boutte.
Tayshaun Boutte. 9 touchdowns, 30 catches. He alone is going to make a spectacular catch, play for a touchdown, right?
Yeah.
Second best player on the team, maybe the first, is Cade York, the kicker. LSU can advance to the 40. They're getting points. They're getting 3 points. That's how against Auburn went up 13-0, ended up losing 29-23 or whatever. But Cade York is money as a field goal. So they're going to score points. My question is,
a block and return a touchdown.
Well, that's true.
Oh, that's a good point.
My question here for this weekend coming up, I think Mark Stoops will have him dialed in because there's no reason to question him about that. I think he's one. I think the buy-in will be there. I think the effort will be there. It's which LSU team we're going to see. And then for Kentucky, we're going to have to talk about it. Got to find some resemblance of an offense.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not acceptable what's been on the field the last 8 quarters.
Even
though you win, you're 5-0. If a team is as good as Kentucky is and Nick's already put them in the Sugar Bowl, the higher the expectation, the higher the standard – the more critical, not critical, but the more stringent we're going to critique this team.
Yeah.
Well, and you
that's fair, right? Is that fair or not?
Oh, that's 100% fair.
I mean, I love, too, that Freddie's caffeine is really...
It's kicked in.
Yeah, it got all the way kicked in.
Amston Coffee Shop for sales.
Oh, free plug. There you go. But before I get to the offense, I found myself conflicted watching that LSU-Auburn game towards the end of the press box, because part of you is like, oh, well, you want them to come in feeling good, and maybe you can catch them. I mean, you aren't catching anybody when they're going on the road against a top 25 team. But the middle thing with LSU, they went from, we are the best team to ever play football in the history of football. And they had the personalities that when things are going well, they're the cock of the walk, the talk of the town. You can't nobody tell them nothing. And then when you get that taken away, those personalities fracture, split. You have their coordinators that led the way in Aranda and Brady. They're gone. And now you've got new guys into town. And I don't know. I mean, between all the stuff about the drug testing and the academic problems of people getting suspended, like, they have some dudes there, but there's some locker room stuff that's been off. And I know that Coach O's been at this point before. And that's the only part that I work, because there's been times too where they were like, well, if he doesn't do it this weekend, he's going to get fired, and he ends up winning, and you know, the rest is history. But Drew, I hope that the coin is flipped and Kentucky can come out to an early start, because this team could fold like a table underneath Ryan Lennon if they get punched in the mouth early and the wheels start coming off.
That's why, and like, none of us have the answers. We don't cover that team, but there's a part you got to wonder. How long a team that has those expectations will hang on? Were they 3-2 now? I know that's not the end of the world, but
got dog walked at UCLA.
If you don't like your coach and you've lost two of your first five games, there's a part of it that makes me wonder: will they just show up and, you know, not even try? Or, like you said, you get the alternative and they could be all systems go and this is their last shot.
And who do they got after Kentucky?
Four more ranked teams.
Yeah, they haven't even gotten to the meat of their schedule yet.
Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas A&M, and Arkansas.
I will say one thing, and this was a reporter speaking, but not anyone on the LSU's team, but in that press conference today, they were talking about it not having a big game feel coming to Kentucky, and I was sitting there listening like, oh, please keep thinking that.
Yes.
Please keep thinking that, because it's a pretty big game feel on this end.
Yeah, I'm not criticizing coaches. I'm just being objective here. But their offense and defensive coordinators are getting hammered out there.
Yeah.
By LSU people. That's not me, but by LSU people. So – There's a lot of question marks about this team, but one thing you cannot doubt is just how talented this
team is. Oh, they've got draft picks. Yeah, I mean, even if it doesn't show in the stats or whatever, they've got draft picks.
Yeah, one of them starts for Kentucky now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true. I do think, too, that loss to Auburn, the reason why I'm kind of hopeful that it's going to have the wheel spinning is because that's like Tennessee losing to Kentucky at home. They hadn't lost to Auburn at home since Cole Kubrick was playing football. I mean, no offense to Cole, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's there. I think the wheels – really, Kentucky is trying to do what it did to Steve Spurrier in 2014, 15, whatever year that was. That's what you're trying to do. You are – right now, Coach O is dazed and confused right now, and you've just got to come up and finish it. Give him the old, I don't know what that combo was on Mortal Kombat.
That's close, actually.
Yeah, yeah. But you got to give him that 1-2 and finish them. And I think it starts by starting fast and getting your offense right, Freddie, which Kentucky at times, they have a couple drive starters, and then they would stall out against Florida. I know that Stoops alluded to Kavassier Smoke doing the right things, and they've wanted to reward him for that. And he it's not like he hasn't done bad things, but there's also times where it's like, Chris just ran 2 10-yard runs. Let's do the 10-yard run play and keep it going. And so things have felt disjointed at times. And where it really – previously it was turnovers. Turnover problem on that. I mean, you had an air roll of his throw. You're going to get those. But on Saturday, it was third down. They were 1 of 10 on third and fourth downs combined. And the only third down they converted was a busted play.
The reason for that, I mean, you got to go to first down. I mean, when Rodriguez is in the game, you're getting positive yards mainly. Mm-hmm. When you run the ball first down, a lot of first down passes against Florida kind of seemed dogged a little bit. And then you get past the 50, Rodriguez is rolling, and Smoke is a good running back. But then he comes out, Smoke comes in.
They run that wheel route to the running back, and it never works.
Pass play on first down, Smoke second down, screen to McLean on third down, nothing. So third downs were really bad for Kentucky. Not all started on first and second down. Kentucky's a team. You know, we all heard in the offseason, the outside zone, we're going to stretch this, stretch that. I've not seen any stretching. Yep. Kentucky is a between the tackles running football team with play action. If you can do that. So Chris Rodriguez is just hammering the football, then you go away from it, and then that's a series that does not produce points. So yeah, third downs were bad because of first and second down. First downs were really bad. I thought. So Kentucky's got a lot of work to do offensively, and they understand that. And mm-hmm. I'm not being critical. I'm just being objective and analyzing numbers, right? I'm just looking at numbers here.
I mean, how many points offensively? And we're handed to him on platter? The Wandale touchdown.
Yeah. Well, the first two games, Kentucky averaged 542 yards, 7.9 yards per play. The last three games against Chattanooga, Carolina, Florida, 304 yards, 5.2 yards per play. So, and then that's really coming in the passing game. In Kentucky, I'm going to go through all the numbers here, but I'll go through yards per attempt, which is almost as important, more important than yards per completion. 14 against ULM, 9 Missouri, 7 Chattanooga, 4.6 Carolina, back to 5. So the yards per attempt have gone down every game too. So there's a lot to work on, but Kentucky is 5-0. Let's get back to the positive here. Kentucky's 5-0 and has not played a good offensive game in a while now. So there's two ways to look at it, okay? Kentucky's do play good on offense. LSU's a defense that's highly talented but gives up a lot of yards, especially through the air. This is the game to get right and to go to 6-0 and look pretty on both sides of the ball. Or you can look at it like this way. What gives you the confidence and evidence that Kentucky's going to turn it on offensively if you've not seen it?
That was the same thing I was saying last week about turnovers, and they started to get there. Chuck, if you could inject yourself into the offense and change a thing or two, what would you do to try to give it some new life?
I think we gotta give one the ball. And I think that screenplay was great. It was creative. It worked. I thought that was going to be the spring of Let's let one double off for 250. But then we didn't get the ball again the
right.
rest of the day.
I mean, there was that one
catch in the second half.
Yeah.
And he just went 20 yards making one guy miss. Yeah. You know?
Man, that play, that had so much potential. What was it, one guy to beat between him and the end zone, basically?
Yeah.
I thought we might have another magic moment. I mean, he still hadn't turned it into something, like, but I thought that was about to be real special.
Right, right. And I think it's going to come down to, all right, Liam, what can you do to get in the ball? I don't care if it's a jet sweep. I don't care if it's a stupid little pitch pass.
I thought it was more than that. You know, like you said, Drew Tom McLean comes in and we go right to him.
Everybody knows the screen.
Everybody knows the screen going right to him. But I think it was, I mean, that was a big, was that third down? Yes. That was a big third down. Maybe he could spring something from the backfield as well, because I don't know what it is about Smoke. He looks like he'd be the best running back in the nation. Not Chris, I guess. I just don't. The only reason that I'm not
panicked,
why is he not better?
Right.
I don't get it.
I'll give you the only reason I'm not panicked or worried about the offense is because Mark Stoops told us not to.
There you go.
And if anything he's done at Kentucky, I believe and trust his word 1,000%. That's why I have a glimmer of hope that, hey, even though now it's 3-4 games of not very good offense, maybe this is the week that Kentucky can get it right.
The kind of way he explained it today was, well, when we time up things right, we aren't executing. And then when we go back to it, we're not – either they fixed it because they saw it, or they aren't in the coverage we're looking for.
Makes a lot of sense.
Like, there's a lot of just – everything is just a little just like – and that stupid bootleg. Hey, Will Levis should be so good at bootlegs, but that play – How can we not – there's just dudes who are always running free there. We've either got to scrape better. Something's got to get – that bootleg should be an easy it's like your boy –
Yeah, I told you at the game. There's so many Titans-Kentucky comparisons, and they run the Henry you know, well, Henry's not running the bootleg, but Tannehill's bootleg seems to work every single time when they key on Henry. And I feel the same way. Kentucky's got that potential with Rodriguez and Levis, but it doesn't seem to be there when they try it.
It's very frustrating because he could be a dude who would just run forever. Because
he's had some great runs, but obviously, heck, I think his best plays of the year have mostly been runs.
Yeah, and that one play that they tried it this week, it was Rigg was like, I think Rigg was supposed to be the guy they're going to, and he was like trying to block somebody at the time. Just turn around so you can just throw it and get 2 yards, you know? So the offense has certainly had some frustrating moments. But man, you know what? If you can just get the Wandale play to happen a few times, and if you can keep Chris, I wish Chris had one more yard to give him that streak of 100 yards in every game. He's still leading the SEC in rushing yards, and I think they're going to keep going to him against LSU. And it can just make life a lot easier on Will Levis, because there were times he looked uncomfortable, where the Todd Grantham pressures, it made him uncomfortable. And my big takeaway just from a 10,000 feet Freddie without having to dive in a ton, they played two aggressive defenses this year. One of them they beat the hell out of. I mean, Steve Wilkes might have been a terrible hire at Missouri. But in one of them, they ran up the score on him, had a bunch of yards, could have had more without turnovers. The other one, Kentucky was terrible on third down. They were not ready for what Florida was bringing. They got to find somewhere in the middle against this LSU defense that they're going to run that press stuff again. So Wandale and Co, they've got to be able to get open against these guys. And Levis has to be comfortable enough to deliver those throws that we just haven't seen that in a few weeks.
No, we've not. And Will's got to trust his eyes, you know, and he's got to clean up his pocket awareness. He took a sack against Florida where Rosenthal and Kennard, I mean, there was an umbrella of protection. When that happens, the quarterback, you step up.
Yeah.
And you keep your eyes on your progressions. And Will, instead of stepping up, ran towards the pressure and got sacked. So there's some pocket issues and awareness that he needs to work through. But, yeah, I mean.
Nothing a little coffee and Miracle Whip won't cure.
We're six games into this. We're halfway through the season. And we're waiting. We're waiting for that performance. You're not going to see what you saw against ULM again. And you're not going to see, I mean, this game, again, Kayshon Boutte, the receiver from LSU, is so good. Kentucky can be in the right place, right call, doing the right things, and still get beat for a touchdown. He's that good. Go across the 40, York is going to nail everything inside the 40. Best kicker in America. LSU's going to score points. Kentucky's going to have to score points this weekend. And you can't expect, even as good as Brad White is and as good as that Kentucky defense is, you can't expect it to have dominant performances from here on out. They're going to have a rough night.
And that's what I think.
And rightly so. They deserve to have an off night. But they got to be picked up by the offense, Charles. And I just it's not been happening.
We haven't had to see it happen. I was on John Spears radio today, Santa Radio.
Spears
and
Spears.
And I kind of made fun of him. We haven't had two come back from behind, and that's kind of been Stoops' forte. He's the defensive coach. He wants the defense out there when there's 3 minutes left, not
so,
the offense.
So did I.
Exactly.
I was looking forward to punts because I wanted the defense back on the field because, I mean, let's just be honest, that was an opportunity to score when the offense was struggling on third down so much. So. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I hope that the Cats get it right on Saturday.
The one funny thing from Saturday night, too, that combines both topics is on the way home, we got a little bit of the Homer LSU call. And there's nothing like getting a Homer radio call. Tom Leach is, of course, the best of the best. Like, here's to you, Mr. Robinson.
Did he drop that?
He dropped that. That was so good. But, like, the LSU one, you got one kind of straight lace, and then you've got the just Cajunest Cajun homer that's ever homered. And while trying to come back, they hit Boutte on third and a mile for, like, a 35-yard gain. That's why they got it to the best wide receiver in all of college football. And then, of course, they call it back, you know, on review because the ball got loose when his butt hit the ground. And, you know, then they're – if his butt hit the ground and it caused a fumble, then how's that going to be a fumble? And then, of course, interception, next play, game over. I love a good homer call. except for if you, the homerist. Do y'all here know the homerist homers in all of the SEC?
I would go KSR.
The Georgia broadcast was just a. Oh man, it is something else. The days of what's his name?
Munson.
The days of Munson are long gone. These guys, I mean, they might as well be Kentucky Sports Radio in the booth. Like, we got to do this better, Paul. You know, I mean, it will drive any opposing fan crazy, and hopefully, Kentucky is driving them crazy in 2 weeks after a victory over LSU, because it would be oh so sweet. This weekend, we've got our first and I think maybe only edition of the Double Dip this year with Keeneland. If you want to get tickets to Keeneland, tough luck, because you can't.
Imagine that.
Why do they? This is not Drew Franklin. This is Nick Roush talking. So Keeneland, if you want to get mad at me, I love pissing off horse tracks. So please come at me with your best ammunition, because you can't tell people that you're open with no capacity restrictions and then only sell 5,000 general admission tickets.
Oh,
we got breaking news.
Kentucky versus LSU is a sellout.
Woo!
Yeah, Keeneland sold out.
LSU sold out.
Max Johnson, quarterback from LSU, was talking post-game after Auburn, said that what LSU does is goes to the line of scrimmage, sees the defense, looks at the sidelines, and makes adjustment calls to play. There's going to be a ton of pre-snap communication that the Tigers are going to have Saturday night. That crowd. Who? How many illegal procedures before that?
Nine.
That's nine.
Time,
yeah.
That's 9 5-yard tackles for loss for the Big Blue Nation. That's how you need to look at it. It needs to be just right there Saturday night, because LSU is going to run. I don't know what they're trying to do. Maybe it's the air raid. Maybe not. I don't know. I can't figure out the coordinator.
I mean, this ain't the Rose Bowl either. Kroger Field's actually going to have fans at it.
I mean, it's going to be loud.
It's going to be rocking.
It's going to be loud when Max Johnson is trying to check plays and all that kind of stuff.
You get an extra hour and a half tailgating for this one, too. So if you thought last week was rowdy, now you're 5-0.
I mean, Charles might not even make it in the gate by the time it's kickoff.
No, it'll be my first double dip, but I'll be in.
You're going to make it?
I plan on leaving Keeneland at 3 o'clock.
Just get a couple of those triple lattes from Stoops' office.
We played at LSU.
Yeah. So I was, funny story.
Down 40, yeah.
I was on the side. The game was over, so I was like, I'm just going to go enjoy the final quarter from the sideline. And Dorian Baker's mouthpiece about landed, the other guy's mouthpiece landed on my feet about 15 yards away. That trip we also had my buddy's tires got slashed before we left town, so we had to get that fixed. That sucked. And we got pulled over by a Mississippi State trooper on our way home too, who was at least kind enough to just send us on our way. But that could have been, whew, man.
Saturday will be payback for all of that.
Yeah.
Also, Tigerland sucks too, by the way. That bar, worst bar in the SEC.
They're here already. I saw 6 or 7 LSU fans themselves.
Man.
I don't think people understand how many LSU fans are going to be here.
Already a gazillion.
They just got to get here early to prepare for their sadness. Bring their therapist, their shrinks with them.
It's hard to hate them, because everybody I've known that's LSU fans are just great people.
Yeah.
But this isn't about hating your LSU fans. This is about going 6-0.
Undefeated in the first half of the season.
And that's making that 3:30 kickoff in an Athens count. That's as far as I'm going. The game is going to be kicked off at 3:30.
Freddie,
I'm in with Nick Saban.
Do you know when the last time Kentucky won 8 straight football games was?
8 straight?
Yeah.
We won 5 straight when I was there.
On a 7-game win streak right now, dating back to last year. Charles, pop quiz.
I was trying to think when the Baylor game was in 77.
Ding, 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 ding.
77.
So you were around then, right? Were you knee high?
I listened to that game with my sister. We both had the mumps.
Oh, gosh, that sucks.
Yeah.
But you came?
I remember listening to the Kaywood Leopard.
That was
it. It was at Baylor, because it was so hot that the turf cleats were melting. I remember that. And Mike Singletary played for the Baylor Bears.
And that was when the 9-game win streak got set, correct?
Yep.
And Kentucky is not – they're on a 7-game win streak now, longest since then. Got to keep this train rolling.
Nine's within reach. LSU, Georgia, I mean, come on.
LSU?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Let's get it done.
Which LSU?
dad's all time favorite, like dad, you know, kind of chant. It's almost, I love it as much as Justin Dental. And I can't
wait to bring it back.
I cannot think of a better dental office. I mean, they sponsor KS Office.
Sponsor KSR.
And as nice as KS Office is, it's nothing like the waiting rooms at Justice Dental. You don't have to wait there long.
Yeah, the problem is you're only there for like 30 seconds. But while you're there, there's plenty to do.
Doc Thompson wanted to be here tonight, but Henry, his son, has a baseball game. So hope Henry won and hit other home runs.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, I'm guessing.
Did you get another text this morning?
I didn't get one this morning, but if I'm guessing, Doc Thompson, like the rest of the city, is still feeling a little bit from Saturday because he's a tailgater.
I have a feeling he was on the field.
I don't think he'll mind me reading this.
Okay. Yeah, he won't.
At 7:20 this morning, still no voice. My hand is literally swollen from high fives beating the bleachers in front of me, making noise during the game.
Might have to call it.
Don't you want your dentist to love this, football as much as you?
And I'd say it will be next Monday as well.
Yeah. Oh. Some other stupid dentist.
Yeah, just call him today at 859-543-0700. Give Justice Dental a call today. Visit him online. Tell him the KSR Football Podcast sent you. Man, I'm trying to think. This was just such a crazy, awesome win. I hope we did it justice. Oh, there's Justice Dental calling again. Gosh, didn't even mean to do that. But I really do, because this was such a fun... I think that people didn't even know what to do afterwards.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can speak for Charles or not. But I was so happy for Mark Stewart. I was so happy for the team, obviously, and the fans. But I was equally as happy for the former players.
Oh, yeah.
That meant a lot to me. I'm Charles, I ain't speaking to you. That meant a lot to a bunch of us because, I mean, let's just be honest, we all lost to Florida one way or the other. Close game, blowout, whatever.
You didn't lose the fight to him, though, by God.
No, Jay George is 2-0 in that situation. Christian Moore, we followed him a couple times. Did you ever fight for that?
Just a little. Yeah, just a little.
Yeah. But it meant a lot to former players. I mean, I can't tell you the ones that I had text call. I know Ransdale and all that 86 crew had a group text going, and they reached out to me during the game. So it meant a lot to us. It meant the world to me.
I think I might have been a little teary-eyed watching the clock go to zero.
I will say, too, for me, it meant more when I was there in 18, so we didn't have that same feeling. But I'm so happy for all the fans who finally got to see it in person because I knew what it was then, and now it's like I've done this, but now there's 60,000 other ones who got to be there, who got to dap up the players after the game, who got to say thank you, who got to take their selfies with all the other ones. I mean, who got to sing my old Kentucky home after the game. I mean,
sometimes it doesn't hit you in the moment, but that hit me right. Right when it hit zero, it was like, there it all.
And they're not alone. Jacob Tammy tweeted about crying. I mean, lots of former players mentioned they had tears coming. Freddie's got tears from laughing.
When Nick said selfies, I was imagining 100 years ago when we beat LSU, and I'd have a big ass pogo again.
Waka Flocka wouldn't have been there. Who would have been there instead of Waka Flocka?
MC Hammer.
MC Hammer would have let him.
Tone Loke.
I love Tone Loke.
Yeah.
He would have let the team out.
Yeah.
Freddie, you got a winning record against LSU, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
And
also, how about that video of Freddie that snuck out this week?
Listen, I tweeted that. People came back at me like I was being serious.
Did you see it,
Charles? I said something to the fact that me and Wandale Robinson looked very similar in the open field.
Sorry, did somebody tweet out a picture highlight of Freddie?
No, video of Freddie.
Yeah, Kentucky. Films or Kentucky tape.
Clips.
Oh, I've got to watch this.
Oh, my man. He's not lying. It could have been Wandell with a little more height on him.
And people thought I was serious and like, oh, you're, you know.
You mean one?
I guess I never joke on social media. People don't know that. You all know me. I joke around quite a bit.
More like Juan Freddie, am I right?
I'm very serious.
You got it right here.
Freddie Juan Maggard.
I got home the other day after the DeAndre scored.
You got hammered?
Look at these legs.
Oh, wow.
Look at these legs in traffic.
All right.
Hold on, run it back, dude. Look at number 35. Okay.
He's got one, and then.
I like you hit that extra gear when you see the hole too. You think you're slowing down, then oh no, let's get 10 more.
Yeah. That was against Cincinnati. They were so bad.
That segment's called "We Watch a Highlight Video on an Audio Show." But I liked us talking about it.
Oh man!
But I was joking, people. I mean, I know. No,
Freddie, you're being no joking allowed on social media.
Uh-huh.
I'm excited though. Freddie, you just were, I've never seen you so fired up for one of these.
It's Amsden Coffee.
Coffee, and I'm serious. I'm ready to beat the brakes off LSU.
Gosh.
I want this for this team, this program to make a statement. Mm-hmm. I know 4-1 was a statement because they hadn't done it before. Now how do you deal with success? I want this statement. I want a big win Saturday night. I mean, I want to leave no freaking question, Charles, when the horn blows of who the better football team is, and I think it's the Kentucky Wildcats.
They got a big get like you get the pregame speech.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
And then next week you got one loss Georgia coming off a loss to Auburn, and we just see what happens.
Can I just say too that I'm not going to be that guy because I love that team a lot, but one thing that 2017 struggled to do was build on the momentum from their big wins.
My biggest fear.
I mean, because you had
always ripped it away.
You had the big Louisville win, and then you go down on Thursday Night Football and throw 17 interceptions at South Carolina, and then you have the big LSU win, and then Florida and Mississippi State back-to-back weeks. You can't let one win turn into a loss or two. And I know that big picture, us dumb talking heads can say, well, if you just get one of two of Florida and LSU, screw that. Go, you are the better complete team than LSU is. You've executed better, and you still haven't even played your best football. And Stoops said today, the foot is going on the gas.
Yeah.
I hope they're over at Bull Marine and Oklahoma Grill for 2 hours.
I hope they're not.
But I want those players, I wish those players could feel, and I hope they do, the energy from this fan base.
Absolutely. I really do,
because it's there. Mm-hmm.
And now
they're going to be wild.
And now it's just manifesting it and running it back and making sure that stadium is shaking once again at Kroger Field. Big Blue Nation, we'll see you there. This has been the KSR Football Podcast.
The peep, the technique. Don't sweat the technique.